Welcome to Artworlds. Today we are joined by Margaret Okumbe, a design lecturer and a researcher with a deep interest in how brands connect with audiences on social media. Margaret's work focuses on empathy and cultural awareness in digital advertising, how brands can move beyond selling to truly resonate with consumers. In this episode, we'll discuss everything from the role of traditional foods in ads to the impact of Western influence on Kenyan youth culture. Let's dive in and hear Margaret's fascinating insights. Good morning. It looks like a morning, but it's actually afternoon. Welcome to our podcast. I'm your host, Duranira. Today we have a special guest, Madam Margaret Okumbe, a distinguished lecturer at the Technical University of Kenya. And welcome to our show. So, how are you today?
I'm fine.
I actually have a very funny question. If you were male, what would you change about how you tackled life?
I don't even know. It's not very easy to imagine what being male looks like. But I'm thoroughly feminist. I can't imagine how male would feel like. But I find male work a bit boring because they like to sit idle. So.
And what do you think are the gender roles that you need abolished, that you'd have like scrapped completely?
If there are some that would be scrapped so that everyone does something, I think that would bring confusion. Male are inclined to behave in a certain way. They think in a certain way. Ladies do the same. So when you abolish gender roles, it will bring confusion.
I respect your take on that. So on to the major questions of this interview. What subjects do you currently teach and what do you find most exciting about them?
I teach visual communication, industry-based learning, the individual students' projects, design theory is the core subject basically.
And which one do you enjoy the most?
I have this habit of putting my heart into anything I do. I don't know which one I enjoy most, really. For visual communication, I love it because there's a lot of creativity that I prompt students to develop. So probably that would be the most interesting one of the two.
And how do you engage and inspire your students in class?
I just like to make them feel that they can. So I don't give up on anybody. And for me, marks is not the determinant of your capability. It could just be a mindset at that particular time or something you're going through in your life. So I like to encourage everybody to do their best.
Having that students out here from different backgrounds, they are tackling different challenges, having that capability of understanding that they need something else outside. Academic knowledge is a huge plus. Kudos to you. Now, on to your research. Can you briefly describe your PhD research in simple terms?
My research is on the effectiveness of advertising on social media. And I would like to look at how these advertisements have been done, if there is any kind of empathy in them. I like the way the Gen Z recently were really trying to get empathy out of the president. It took a while for him to even realize that's what people are looking for. So that is what I realized was important, because on social media, everybody's talking. When people advertise, they imagine that the advertisements will touch them, but getting to the core of that person to make them feel that the brand cares for them, the advertiser is concerned about their well-being, has not been commonly done.
Advertisements out here are just done to sell the product without the one making the advertisement put themselves in the buyer's shoes or the customer's shoes. So I think it's a nice topic to discuss, or rather research on. Was there any personal motivation to this research topic?
Actually, there was. I live with an adult son, and during the COVID-19 pandemic, I noticed that he kept going to the gate to get food. And I'm like, is the food in the house so bad? He has to keep eating from outside. So he introduced me to online shopping. I learned about advertising online. Eventually, I will look at the advertisements for indigenous food, ugali, omena, managu. That is what I'm going to look at.
What role does cultural sensitivity play in the success of your social media advertising campaigns?
Culture is a very broad term. A lot of times when people talk about culture, they look at the traditions, which are no longer there. Basically, I was brought up upcountry, and you'd say I was involved in the local culture. Yes and no. Yes, because I was part of the community. No, because I was going through schooling that had a lot of European culture. So basically, I had that conflict even in my very basic family. Back to my study, culture is very important. And if I define it as the way we do things or the way things are done, there are so many cultures. So there are cultures of young people, there are communities within communities. You find that online there are communities, groups of people who influence each other. So that is a group of people that have formed their culture. Whatever group you belong to, the estate where you live, there is a culture. Even when you board transport, there is a culture of travel. So coming back to my studies on young people, what is influencing them? What culture are they borrowing, especially in this day and age when we have the internet and we are operating under the global village? What is exactly influencing them that can be incorporated into the advertisements that is positive, not necessarily negative, positive? So we don't have to stick to our old culture if it doesn't add value to our lives. So there is this Americanization that is influencing how young people eat. Like if you come to TUK, you find that fries sell more.
Ugali and omena. It's not even on those fast food apps. You find that it's basically fried chicken, fries, or burgers that are sold on those delivery shops. So you'll be missing a lot from the cultures that have been here before, but the Western cultures have already grasped a hold of the customers.
I was born after independence. When I went to Form 1 is when we were discovering ourselves. Our contemporaries used to follow the European culture in the name of modernization. But inside, we knew we are Africans, and it was a time South Africa was fighting for its independence, and would watch a lot of plays about them, how they are suffering. Some of the refugees would come to teach us and teach us about Africanization, Pan-Africanism. What should we be like? So we grew up knowing you don't need to bleach your face to look white. You're good as you are. People have gone back to the Western cultures. You find people painting their nails, painting their lips. But in our days, we really wanted to go back to our roots and be ourselves. One of the set books was Song of Ochola and Song of Lawino. And he was critiquing the wife who had adopted the Western culture. So we knew Western is good in some aspect. Western is bad in some aspects. So we choose what is good for us.
It's all about the handpicking of what gets you a better lifestyle, but also maintains your cultural background and the person that you are in, that you don't lose yourself, right?
Yeah, it's your identity. You really have to find to redefine yourself within the many cultures. While I'm analyzing the studies, I would want to know exactly why people choose what they choose. And it's touching on health communication, actually. I see a lot of fast food restaurants opening. So there's that aspect of advocacy for the health ministry. The second thing is media literacy for those that are consuming advertisements on social media. How literate are they? First of all, I had to establish the most popular advertising platform. It is Instagram, but the best place to place the banner advertisements that I'll be looking at is Facebook. The methods I'll use is collecting advertisements and the conversations that go around them. Because one wrong word, bad reputation, will take a lot of energy from a wrong comment for buyers to believe that brand is okay. So that is one of the challenges that the advertisers face. They put their advertisements, but whatever is said about them, like reviews, they are so believable that it takes a lot of energy and convincing to be able to build that image back. There's the analysis of the advertisement and the conversations. There's the interviewing of the youth, and I've considered universities because cultures develop from university, and lifestyles because of studies. People are inclined to behave in specific ways, change their eating habits, etc. So I'm looking at the university students in the public and private university, and then I will also interview the creators of advertisements. They may or may not be designers.
Can you share a surprising discovery you've made in your research so far?
So far, I learned that the data protection laws are not known by local community. The policy was passed in 2019, and they put some of those into law, but a lot of people don't know about it. Probably right now that the young people are using the social media more, people might want to just find out, but it's not a common thing. The second thing is that the training may not be quite appropriate in the formal learning institutions, that after some students finish here, they have to go for additional training to be able to advertise on social media and yes. even manage the social media platforms for businesses. I'm hoping the outcome of this study will assist in improving our curriculum.
Having mentioned data protection, I think most Kenyans barely read the terms and conditions that come with these things, whether it's mobile phones, social media when logging in or signing up. I think that people actually overlook the terms and conditions. There was this show on Netflix that talked about data protection and how social media is actually harvesting data from you. You find yourself talking about, let's say, a podcast, and in your For You page, you'll have them bringing things and topics that touch on podcast recording and also social media itself. Right now, if my phone is connected to the internet, users connected, they are still harvesting data.
I've talked to my former students and I just realized that there is a lot they can guide us on how to train, especially in communication design. There is the AI that I learned from you that you're already using it, that is auto-generating advertisements, tailor-making them to suit the consumer from their personal data. Actually, the advertisements become so irritating that they track the journey you'll be making online. They keep tracking you if yes. you Google something related. Yeah. Sometimes even conversations.
Exactly.
So one of the things that my study is meant to do is, how do we mitigate that? And that doesn't mean shoving trash into people's throats, but how do we present it in such a way that it will not irritate, but communicate? How do you frame that message so that it adds value to the consumer? That is one of the questions I hope to answer in the study.
How do you balance your research and other professional responsibilities as well as home responsibilities?
Having taught for many years, yeah. I've learned to prepare very fast. I don't need to do so much reading because a lot of what I'm studying also applies to what I teach. So I take a very short time to prepare, but thoroughly. At least I want to show value, give value to my learners. I also have the responsibilities of taking care of the family. I'm with my son alone, so he helps where he can. But I love cooking, so that is one way of unwinding. Because I realized when I just sit and write, I lose focus. I get so tired. And if I force it, I'll develop headaches. So I go and cook, I wash a little, I go shopping a little, then come back and I find that I can critique what I've been doing as opposed to just burying myself in the study, which I find not helpful. So I do what I enjoy doing. I haven't quite locked myself up because I realize that will not bring out quality out of me.
Personally, cooking is therapy for me. It's a perfect way to escape from all the thoughts in your head and everything else that's bothering you professionally and casually. What are your biggest challenges as you're doing this research and how have you overcome them?
There are certain studies that we cannot access. Even though the institution has subscribed, they need to be bought and I could not keep up with that. So yeah. I have to get alternative studies that may not be as of high quality as the previous one. In fact, the day before, I went to two libraries trying to get one document but failed completely. It delays working. It slows down the thought process. We've learned that we cannot always have it the way we want, so we always go for an alternative. Another challenge is now socially is
keeping friends.
You have to lose friends. Family members don't understand you. Extended family members don't yeah. understand you. Yeah. And I don't want to tell them that at my age I am a student.
I think your positivity to life is just awesome. Could you convince someone who thinks that education is not the only way? How would you convince them to partake PhD?
Yeah, I know that a lot of people have done better without even PhDs.
Yes.
They've been born with talents or through exposure. But if you are so inclined to academics like I am, just find PhD more interesting because it gives you more different perspectives to the usual things. It's always important to take up new challenges and not just stick to what you know. People imagine if you have a doctorate in one field, they even don't know it's one field. They imagine you know everything. That's not true. But at least it gives you the curiosity and the framing of things, general framing of life as a whole, regardless of the field that you enter into.
How can audiences, or rather our listeners, stay connected with you or learn more about your research outside this platform?
Basically, I would give a summary to whoever is willing to listen, but going public at this particular time may not be very, very safe because even the idea can be stolen and plagiarized, and somebody uses ChatGPT to produce that. This is before me. So there are certain things I may need to guard until the study is done and presented to the respective examiners.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here. So thank you so much. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do subscribe and also leave comments and things that you might want to hear more and people you'd want us to interview. Thank you so much for being here. Good day.